Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune in to the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaw11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by first time on the show, his predecessor, Connor's been on a few times, Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic. How are we doing today, Zach?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally be able to do this. Obviously, I think you've been doing a great job, obviously, writing and covering the team so far. A really good story on DJ Reed. For anyone that didn't get to take a look at that, make sure you do. Obviously, week one, probably felt like, oh, great. What am I in for here? Went from Giants to the Jets. And, week two was crazy. Obviously, Jets, as I covered, Monday's episode, obviously a big win. How unexpected did you feel like 30-17? How deep into the article has your post-game article were you before you had to delete half the last two paragraphs?
Well, the funny thing is, luckily, in my previous job, it wouldn't have been a problem. But luckily with The Athletic, we don't have to write something like right when the game ends. Like, they give us a little more time to go in the locker room, really get to analyze what happened and think about it as opposed to in the moment, which in that situation, I literally texted my editor and I'm like, thank you for not making me write at the gun, because that would have been hard. When I covered the University of Arizona, they were in a bowl game where something similar kind of happened. They were down by 14 with 2 minutes left and they pulled off what the Jets did. But I mean, it was wild. I mean, when you've heard it all by now, once they scored that, I wasn't even after the Chubb touchdown. I honestly didn't even notice that they missed the extra point, because I'm just like, all right, I assume they're going to make it. Now I can start thinking about what I'm going to write. And then they come back, Corey Davis scores a touchdown, and like Joe Flacco said, it's just like there was like a weird silence. And you're like, all right, but they're not going to get the onside kick. So, and then they do. And then you're like, okay, well, they're going to win now. After the onside kick, they were not going to be stopped on offense.
I didn't feel like that. I feel like that either. Once they recovered that onside kick, it was, can they make the extra point and can they not give up a play with 22 seconds?
Yeah, that was the next thing. Because then Brissett has that long run and you're like, they only need one more play to get a field goal range. And then Ashton Davis of all people. So it was just a combination of a lot of crazy things. Like all the unsung heroes were guys that the fan base was ready to cut a week ago. So it was just like a perfect, win for the Jets. It's a Jetsian win.
Yeah, no, it was usually it's what happened to them, right? You look back at the Raiders game a couple years ago, obviously they're actively tanking, or quote unquote, not actively tanking, whatever, however you want to phrase it. And Greg Williams calls cover zero on the one play, you can't run that, and all these different things. But it's funny, you look at, as you mentioned, the extra point was so kind of unsung at the time. And I know Robert Saleh said he would have gone for two. No one can question him on it because it didn't have to happen. The Corey Davis one, they even got so silent. It was crazy, as you mentioned. It was like, everyone's like, oh, what do we have? What's happening here?
Well, funny enough with the go for two thing, the moment I realized they missed the extra point was when I turned to another reporter and I was like, think they're going to go for two if they score here. And then he's like, they don't need to. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I know. It was weird. I was watching my fiance and she was like, oh, they missed the extra point. And I was like, okay. I didn't even think much of it. And then
who cares?
Yeah, who cares? I mean, cool. They could cover now and, people will be happy to have money on the game. I guess we'll kind of talk from a Garrett Wilson, quickly. And Wilson, obviously, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Had the one drop that I felt really happy for him, because with a young player, sometimes when you the last part of the game like that. It's just, it sticks with you. I know Garrett's not like that. And, you know, watching him in camp, you obviously saw him every day. He had a bunch of drops during camp and it didn't linger that much, but you never know. Game playing that well. How are you surprised he's been this good this quickly, or are you kind of expecting to be like more Davis and then Wilson early on at least?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, throughout camp, I said how clear it was, how talented he was, and that I always thought that his ceiling was to be the best receiver out of this group. There was a lot of the drops in camp, and, you know, you're still working, like, figuring out how to be an NFL receiver. And, you know, I think even I wasn't here in the spring, but the coach, I know the coaches in the spring were saying how he was still, like, learning route running and stuff like that. And then he came out the other day, and, like, he's advanced way past what I thought he would be this early. Like, I think he already might be their best receiver. Or at least he's the most, like, dynamic. You know, he's a surprisingly, shockingly good route runner. Maybe a lot of that has to do with his athleticism, because he had a couple of jukes at the line of scrimmage where it created just enough space to where he was pretty much open to where, as long as Joe Flacco threw an accurate ball, he was getting it to him. Even if you don't with Garrett Wilson, he's so athletic, he can go and get it. His ability to make plays after the catch is unlike any of their other receivers. You know, I think Elijah Moore has some of that, but not like, I don't think he's quite as shifty as Garrett Wilson is. And, you know, he has the drop thing, but for the most part, he catches stuff if it's a catchable ball. I mean, if he has a drop, it's like a mental error more than like he can't get it kind of thing. So he impressed me quite a bit. And now that, like, I don't even know what the ceiling is for him, because I did not expect him to look as good as he did in week two. That's as good of a rookie performance as I've seen. You know, it's funny. Most of my followers are like Jets fans and stuff, but after all the comments about, like, you know, from DJ Reed comparing him to Justin Jefferson and then Tyler Conklin, like, I didn't see as much outrage as you would think when something like that comes out, because I think there were a lot of, like, he was very popular in, like, the draft community. Like, I know a lot of people had him as the best receiver in this draft. And so now he's doing this, and now you're hearing the hype just, like, go crazy. Maybe it's getting out of whack almost, but that's how good he looked. And he didn't even play the most snaps out of the receivers. He was still third. So yeah. Very curious to see how this plays out, if he's their legit number one receiver now, how he does when teams start preparing for him, what it does for Elijah Moore. But just having a guy with that level of ability is going to make everybody better anyway. So,
yeah, no, it's interesting. Some of the hype that there was, I know Mike Greenberg, in tongue in cheek a bit, was like, oh, he's the best Jets. Like, he's not the best Jets offensive player in 20 years. There's guys that are in the Hall of Fame, so maybe we should bump that down a little bit. And I know Dan Orlovsky mentioned him potentially breaking the rookie record of targets. I don't see that happening. I know that he got 14 targets, and that's fantastic, but there's going to be games where it's Elijah Moore with 12 targets. If anyone's followed the Niners or the Rams or any of these teams over the last 4 or 5 years, it kind of is like a game-by-game thing. Like, there's games where Kittle's the number one target, then it's Debo, then it's somebody else. So I think you saw even on the Corey Davis touchdown, I know Connor broke it down a little bit, and then Denzel Ward kind of said it wasn't his fault, but it was, and then it's Grant Delpit and whatever. The point of it more so to say, you know, they've all shifted towards where Garrett Wilson was, if you watch that play, and then they just totally forgot about Corey Davis, who's making $13 million a year. I think you'll see Elijah Moore start to get more targets as well. I'm sure you probably feel the same way. He's open all the time. In terms of quickly on the Flacco, when Zach comes back, do you think it's dependent upon more of when Zach's ready, or is it like at this point when Joe Flacco's, like, how good Joe Flacco's playing or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the question of the day if he has another good game in week three. You know, if he plays like he did again and they're 2-1, like, I mean, you at least have to think about keeping him in. Like, I don't know. It's a really hard discussion to have, because I don't know if there's a right answer. Like, Zach Wilson is their guy. He's going to be their starter at some point. I think they're going to wait until he's absolutely 100% and he looks like the Zach Wilson they know he can be. So, and you feel a little better about holding him out until he's 100% because of how Flacco is playing. But, you know, I'm going to wait and see what happens on Sunday. And then I think that'll be the discussion next week for sure. If Flacco resorts back to what, like, maybe we expected or how he looked in week one, then Zach Wilson's an easy call. But if not, you're 2-1, you're going against the Steelers, who are a pretty beatable team right now, especially without TJ Watt. And there's also the question of, like, do you want him to come back against the Dolphins team that looks pretty good? Like, I don't know. It's a real balance. I think when they feel like he's 100%, he'll play. But, you know, maybe they can be more patient if Flacco is good.
Yeah, so I would say for me, it's two things. One, they do have to rip the Band-Aid off at some point here. And I think, I know Robert Saleh's mentioned, I thought this week was perfect. They're at home. It's the worst defense of the bunch. It's a game they're coming off momentum where, like, Flacco didn't really play that great. If you really, you know, if Nick Chubb
he
just goes.
He did his job.
He did his job. But if he missed Garrett Wilson twice on two easy touchdowns, like, there was some things during the game. The strip sack was, I would say, more percentage his fault than Max Mitchell. When you're a rookie and you're going against the Pro Bowl level DN, like, I think you expect the guy to step up. And then obviously, look, if Chubb goes down, he's got 195 yards and two touchdowns. And we're like, oh, this is another loss. They lost 30-17. So at some point, you got to bring him back. And the season, I think you would agree, is very much about his solid right head coach. Do you have the right roster? And is Zach the right quarterback? And
totally.
Right now, they figured out kind of the roster thing starting to come into fruition. And we'll see on Saleh, obviously. But Zach's the most important player on the team, whether people like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I even said that. I can't remember if it was on my podcast or on another podcast I was on, but the season is still all about Zach Wilson. Like, it, and if anything, you know, maybe it winds up being a weirdly good thing that, you know, obviously he's missing out on reps and all that stuff. But if by the time he gets there, the offensive line is feeling, you know, is in sync, and, you know, Garrett Wilson is fully adjusted, and you know, these Breece Hall is adjusted to the NFL. Like, if all these things are around him, then it's the best possible supporting cast for him. And then it just really is all on him. And, you know, even to tie back to Garrett Wilson, I'm excited to see what Zach Wilson and Garrett Wilson look like together. I know, you know, Garrett Wilson had that quote in camp where he said he likes how Flacco just, like, puts it right on the money or whatever. But Zach Wilson also has that, like, you know, the playground style where he's going to improvise. And if there's anybody that can adjust to the route and, like, go up and get a ball. And I think them two could be really fun if Zach is at his best. So I'm curious to see how their chemistry plays out and how much having a guy like Garrett Wilson really helps Zach Wilson.
Yeah. I guess, like, in theory, the best case for the Jets this week is, like, they win, but Flacco's not very good. So you can bring Zach back.
And you, like, don't have to all the noise of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's just funny. The people that spammed my mentions about how Mike White's better than Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson now want Flacco to be the starter for
exactly. And we're a week ago. They were calling. That's just how it works, though. It's my weekly. Yeah.
The conspiracy theory: the Jets don't play Zach because Mike White's better than him. You mentioned one other thing before we get to kind of the Bengals, you know, matchup. The offensive line, I think, has been. I know they were bad in pass pro week one. They did run the ball decently. All things considered, with who's playing quarterback and where they were playing and who they were playing, I thought they were pretty decent on Sunday. Obviously, AVT has been – he's taken what he did last year and now just gotten so much better in pass pro, which is obviously huge. But, like, overall, Tomlinson played much better. I thought McGovern is what he is, obviously. Fant has not had a good 2 weeks, but that said, like, I think that was kind of expected. He wasn't going to be a superstar level player against Myles Garrett. Max Mitchell's been fine. I'm not saying he's – let's pump the brakes on, like, how good he actually is, but he hasn't been the reason they lost, so that's obviously huge. Do you think the offensive line, like, can sustain and be a decent group for them this year? Because if this is the harder part of their schedule right now and they're surviving, I think, you know, as they get into a little bit softer of a schedule, they should be able to kind of, you know, influence at least the run game specifically more than they have so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that they showed progress in week two is a really good sign, especially because they were going against a more talented defensive line. I think that's not even a controversial thing to say. So, you know, I look at that offensive line, besides ABT, who I've said has, like, Pro Bowl potential, I think the rest of the group is, like, just a bunch of solid guys in theory. Like, that's probably Max Mitchell ceiling. Like, he's not going to be Lane Johnson on the right side. But so if they can have four or five solid offensive linemen, that's really, you don't need this to be a top 10 offensive line. You need it just to be an offensive line that protects Zach Wilson, because Zach Wilson doesn't do very well when he's pressured. At least he didn't as a rookie. I mean, maybe he'll be better at it, but yeah. And you just don't want him to get hit. You need a better offensive line around Joe Flacco if he's in there, because he's a statue and it adds a little more challenges. The run blocking has been pretty good, I think. And I think Breece Hall is good at hitting holes. So that's going to be really fun if they keep on progressing. So yeah, I think, as long as this group stays healthy and the five of them are playing together, and, you know, George Fant is more comfortable again at left tackle. I think Fant is, like, the X factor at this point, because, you know, he looked pretty bad in week one. He looked better in week two. It's hard to judge because he was going against Myles Garrett, like you said. So as the season progresses, and you're not going to play anyone as good as Myles Garrett again.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God TJ Watt's not playing for their sake, because
yeah, exactly.
There's not many people better in the league, if anyone. I guess this kind of ties into the Bengals, you know, this Bengals game. Is it fair or unfair that Sunday's win changed how people are going to look at the Jets season in terms of now that everything's calmed down? And I've said this a million times, and this is not an original take for me. So don't ever, like, you have to look at quarterbacks and head coaches when you look at the schedule. And I think a lot of people got caught up in like, oh, the AFC North. And well, it seems like no one in the AFC North has looked great. I know the Jets lost week one, obviously. And Green Bay does not look like this world beating offense. That's, you know, they're going to put up 50 on you. It could change. Obviously the Jets defense and DVOA is 32nd right now. So let's pump the brakes, but Denver doesn't look as good. And all of a sudden, other than Buffalo, all the games on the schedule, like the Jets should be in at least like competing until like the end of this game. Do you think it's fair to say like now all of a sudden you can look at this 10, you know, Cincinnati Steelers game and go, why can't we be 3-1? Like, is that unreasonable to think that? I mean, maybe they're not going to be favored. Obviously they're not, but is it unreasonable to say, what if they're 3-1 against Miami in week five?
You know, I don't, it's such a week to week league. And I think people forget that, like, nobody expected them to win those first.
I was going to say they were two. Anyway. They were 2 minutes away from being, you know. 0-2.
Yeah. Even if they've been 0-2, like most of the predictions have been 6 to 8 win range. I would say I think I had them at 7 wins. Going 0-2 was not going to prevent them from doing that. Like, it's a long season, so I think to your point, like I see them be competitive most weeks. Like, there's going to be some games where they get blown out. That's just the reality. And maybe there'll be a couple games where they win by a lot. But I do think they can compete. And like you said, like, that's just like, you look at a schedule before the season, you're like, oh, that looks really hard in this stretch. And then the complete opposite happens where like the part you think was going to be hard winds up not being, and the part that you think was going to be easy, it winds up being hard. So like the second half of the schedule was where everybody was pointing to, and maybe that won't be as easy now. Like, I don't know. And, you know, teams like the Packers, they'll get their stuff together, you would think, but yeah. So, I mean, is it unreasonable? No, like I think those are two winnable games for sure. Do I think they'll be 3-1? Probably not, but yeah, I definitely think that's been the thing. Everybody was pissed in week one because they were not competitive at the end of that game. Like, it was over by the fourth quarter. They can't have games where they're over in the fourth quarter that early anymore. That's just their guy. If the staff wants to survive, if Zach Wilson wants to stay, they cannot be getting killed in the fourth quarter. I think that's why everybody was so pissed. You know, there was extreme reaction. I think there's probably already been extreme, like, positive reaction this week, considering they won in 2 minutes, but a win's a win, especially around here. So positive momentum. I'm optimistic. So I think they can beat the Bengals. I certainly think they can beat the Steelers. I would guess they split, but you know, who knows?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You look, and obviously you're familiar with the Giants. Is, you know, I haven't been over there. It's like, I don't think the Giants are very good. That said, there's a very real chance they can start 4-0 based on who's on their schedule. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Sorry, some teams are just the Eagles made the playoffs last year. They weren't good. And that's just what happens. And in the NFL, I don't know how good or not good the Bengals were last year. I saw them in person a couple times. I thought they were fun to watch. I'm not sure that they were the best team in the AFC, but you know what? They got hot at the right time. So I'm not saying the Jets are going to make the playoffs yet. I'm still at very much at 7 or 8 wins. I think ideally Zach comes back and is good. And you feel you're two players away. You feel like what you, Miami, Cleveland, these other teams that were 1 or 2 guys away. Looking at the Bengals game, I think the Jets match up very well with Cincinnati. I think, especially this year with how DJ Reed's played, I think Sauce, I think DJ Reed needs to guard whoever whoever they feel is going to be the hardest person to match up. But I know Sauce and Jamar Chase size-wise match up well. Jamar Chase is very good. Very, very good. But defensive line-wise against their offensive line, the Bengals' offensive line is a disaster. If the Jets' offensive line you think is bad, oh, baby. Joe Burrow's on pace to get sacked 110 times this year. Obviously, that'll change. And I don't think defensively the Jets shouldn't be able to run the ball, and they scored points last year. So do you feel like it's a good matchup for the Jets? Like, how do you think they're going to be able to win this game? Is it just D-line imposes their will and Joe Flacco's not bad? Like, is that pretty much the thing at home now?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the offensive line. Like, it really – the Jets' defensive line really hasn't gotten home, like, at all. And it's been a little disappointing because I think that was the group that everybody was hyping up. And, you know,
Carl, most expensive in the league.
Yeah, which is crazy. You know, Quinnen Williams wants to get paid. You know, Carl Lawson is being paid like one of the best pass rushers in the league. Like, they need those guys to live up to that contract, especially in this defense where they don't really blitz much and they really rely on those guys, you know, getting home. So I think that's going to be Flacco not turning the ball over, obviously, too. But I think how the defensive line plays is really going to decide this game, because the Bengals have shown you can get to Burrow if you can get past the offensive line, and Burrow holds the ball maybe a little too long, too, has been a big talking point in Cincinnati. So, yeah, I think it comes down to that. And, you know, one of my biggest concerns, and I'm sure you've probably talked about this, is the safety group. And, you know, part of it might have to do with Sauce, and he's a rookie, and the miscommunications need to stop. Like, they keep giving up big plays where it seems like either Sauce or the safety is doing something wrong. I think it's probably fair to say the rookie is probably the one in the wrong in most cases, but I'm not behind the scenes. I know Robert Saleh indicated that it was Sauce's fault on that Amari Cooper touchdown. I think he's been pretty good otherwise, but those small things will kill you. Like, if you just make one mistake and you may give up a big play, that's all that really matters. So they need to fix that up on the back end. But I feel better about, like you said, DJ Reed has been absolutely stellar. Their linebackers are fine. And you need the defensive line to get home. And that if they're going to win this, yeah, in terms of the matchup, yes, on paper, this should be a game that they can win. Like, Carl Lawson should be able to have his breakout game, or Quinnen Williams or John Franklin Myers. Like, one of these guys should be able to get a sack or two. And then on the other side, like, the Bengals have talent on defense, but I think, you know, I think the Jets can run on them, and I think they could, you know, win that way. I don't think they've gotten as much pass rush as they did last year so far. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm pretty sure they haven't gotten as much. So, yeah, I feel like the Jets can maybe don't score 30 against them, but I think they can score points on that defense. So it'll come down to Carl Lawson and those guys being the X factor.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned – look, I don't know. The safety group's tough. I think everyone kind of knew going into the year that's a huge issue. It was a huge issue last year. It will be a huge issue this year. Jordan Whitehead's kind of gotten screwed a couple of times. He's also kind of screwed himself. The Ravens touchdown, the big one, everyone was in my mentions saying it's Marcus Joyner's fault. I can tell you from the staff's perspective, Jordan Whitehead's eyes were way too locked on Lamar. And then, like, he literally was supposed to take three on the other side. He didn't roll over, whatever.
And there was a penalty too.
And there was a penalty. It was brutal on Joyner. That, like, there was the safety stuff's tough. I just don't know what they do about it. I know Ashton. Look, I think everyone in the building and everyone as a fan covering the team would love Ashton to be the answer there, because he's a homegrown guy. You took him up with a high pick. He's the youngest of the group. He's the cheapest. Like, there's a million reasons why it would be great. I just don't know that his angles. He's a weirdly, like, good knack for turning the ball over, which is great, but there's a lot of stuff in the run game that's not so pretty. And then Tony Adams, I do feel bad for Tony Adams. He gets in the game and everyone's expecting him to be a stud because he's got kept on the roster and he gets put in the slot and
covering Cooper. Yeah.
That got ugly.
That's kind of the point. I was talking about that. I was on a radio. I was on Paul Edson's radio show today, and he asked about, like, what they can do at safety. Like, it's not like there's a free agent that's going to upgrade it. Like, yeah.
they could have gotten is on the other team they're playing this week, and they didn't want to trade for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would have taken a lot to get him, but yeah, he's certainly talented. But yeah, so they're going to rely on these guys. They believe in Jordan Whitehead was banged up in week two. You know, LaMarcus Joyner, I have a little more questions about it if this is just what he is now. And I know a lot of fans are obsessed with Will Parks, and I like Will Parks, but, you know, he's been on a lot of teams for a reason, and nobody claimed him for a reason. So they're going to roll with these guys. If Joyner keeps playing like he is, then maybe you start really thinking about, you know, one of these young guys. But this is kind of who they have. This is what they have to deal with. And they hope that the veterans just kind of figure it out.
Are you as confused? I like Bryce Huff a lot. I understand the thinking week one and I guess week two, although if you actually look at the analytics, like Bryce Huff was pretty good against the run last year, better than a lot of their guys. So is there like a sneaky injury or something going on? Because I feel like this is a game where he should eat and not for nothing. I Michael Clemens and Jacob Martin haven't exactly blown the doors off that they should be getting X. You know, I know Jacob Martin's, you know, get paid more, but Bryce Huff's been a more effective pass rusher in his career, let alone, you know, I think he's just a better player than Jacob Martin is at this point. Am I crazy that he should be playing this weekend and probably getting a bunch of snaps against a team they need to hit? You know, they got to hit Joe Burrow early and often.
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised in week one. I mean, like you said, I guess I understood their justification, but I thought he was their best pass rusher in camp outside of Carl Lawson. Like, he really stood out to me. I didn't come in, like, really knowing much about him, and he still stood out to me. And I know his, like, pressure rate was pretty ridiculous last year, so – I straight up predicted he was going to get 8 sacks this year, which isn't looking great now. I would think they would play him this week, but you know, I didn't expect him to be inactive for 2 weeks. They seem pretty committed to not making Clemens or Jermaine Johnson inactive. And so it really comes down to Jacob Martin, and the coaching staff seems to really trust him. So if they don't trust Huff, then he's not going to be out there. I don't think there's a phantom injury or anything like that. I think they just feel like they can't have 7 defensive ends on the active roster. I would play him this week. Like you said, like, this isn't a beatable offensive line. You throw them in for some pass rushes. Maybe they do. They went pretty heavy on safeties last week. I'm curious to see if they do that again. You know, Bryce Hall was also inactive, which is, it's kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, so I don't know. It's a good question. I'm going to ask that this week, I think, when we talk to them. But I don't really have an answer, but I would think they would have him active, but you know, I didn't think he would be inactive anyway. So
yeah. I mean, and also the thing that, no one really wants the, you know, Zach being on the active roster right now does kill them on game day. I know they don't want to admit that and they'll never say that out loud, but they didn't put him on IR and he's likely going to miss all first 4 weeks. And he hasn't really done much in practice other than 7-on-7 stuff after and stretch. So it does kill them on game day because it gives you one less option of somebody you could, you know, have on the roster. The other name I was kind of curious about, and I think, I would assume you probably feel the same way. I think they really like Jeremy Ruckert. I think they were trying to take him along slowly, similar to a lot of these rookies. I think they try to take it slow with Breece Hall, or they try to take it slow with Garrett Wilson. They don't really have that choice now because he's broken out. Even Clemens and Jermaine, I think they're trying to slow these guys, like, get these guys slowly into the, into the game plan. Jeremy Ruckert, I think, is better right now. Like, he should be on the field more. I know he had the drop, but like, blocking wise, I thought he had some really nice reps. And CJ Uzama being out, am I crazy that he should be playing Conklin? Conklin struggled a lot. I think he's the worst graded tight end on BFF right now of anyone that's had like any significant snaps. He should be playing more now. Like, I think as the season goes on, you'll start to see more Ruckert and probably less of some of the veterans that are unglorified 1 year deals if you really look at him.
Yeah. I think they were trying to ease him in, like you said. I think they, because he started late. I mean, I thought it was weird when they called up Kenny Yeboah. I thought they were going to keep him inactive, and they wound up playing him. But yeah, the blocking part is, I think, is key, especially with Uzama out. I was confused in week one when Lawrence Cager was in and he wasn't. But I guess if you think, they had CJ Uzama and Conklin, so they figure maybe Cager's like can be the extra receiver when they do 13 personnel, and that clearly didn't work out. But maybe that was the thought process. So yeah. I would think Ruckert starts playing more as an extra blocker and things like that. Although, it depends how the game strip goes, I suppose. But yeah, because I would think
they want to be almost more 11 at this point, I feel like. I know everyone said 12 personnel, but I feel like all their success comes in 11 personnel, even last year when Elijah started to break out. Like, it's hard not to have those three guys in the field at once.
Yeah, and so if they are doing 11 personnel, then Ruckert probably isn't playing very much, I would say. But unless they're getting up into the goal line situations and things like that. But yeah, so I think he'll be active probably until Uzama comes back at the very least, I would say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. And I guess last two questions here before we wrap. How important do you feel like it is for like Robert Saleh to kind of continue to win games here? I know, I think that's part of the Zach Wilson kind of dialogue is like winning game, like the pressure to win games now versus try to like take it easy with the young quarterback and things. Like, do you feel like the pressure got relieved a little bit from Sunday, or do you feel like if they go out and they lose, 31-10, you know, on Sunday at home, people are going to start to ratchet right back up in your mentions and going, why aren't we firing this guy? I feel like it's been 18, 19 games. I get it, but it's tough when you, like, your expectation, your bar was be better than Adam Gase, and it's not record-wise been that much better yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. That, see, the thing is, I don't think it's going to come down to, like, wins and losses. It really comes down to what I said earlier. They need to be competing in fourth quarters.
Stadium, I mean, can't be empty in the third quarter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, they can't win four games, and, you know, then you can really talk about moving on or whatever. I don't really know what the threshold is. But they need to be more competitive, and, you know, I'm very encouraged by how they played in week two, even before the comeback. I thought it was a competitive game. Week one wasn't. I mean, in the first half, it was, and they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. Like, if they have – they can't have games where it's a lot of mental mistakes, because that just, you know, reflects poorly on the coaching staff. And the defense needs to get better. They can't have the 32nd best team defense again, because he was supposed to be a defensive guy. I think Michael Floor really helped himself this last week. But, yeah, so, I mean, it just really comes down to how they play. Like, I know fans are – you know, fans – I think fans had the same expectations, like 6 to 8 wins probably coming into the season. But the reality is that – When you're if you're only winning 7 games, that's 11 losses, and that's 11 weeks where they're going to be mad probably. So, and I know this fan base is tired of moral victories, but you're going to have a lot of those this year probably in reality. And if you do, if you go, you know, 6-12 or whatever, 6-11, I can't add. You go 6-11. But a lot of those 11 losses were close. Like, I think you feel a little better about Salah going into the offseason.
I'm sure you have to give your prediction. If you had to lean right now, if you want to give a prediction, you're more than welcome to. Where are you leaning, you know, Tuesday evening? You know, obviously right now everyone's healthy, but yeah. Where's your gut feeling? Nick Mangold, you know, retirement ceremony, right? You know, big Sunday.
Yeah. I'm leaning Jets win, but I started that each of the last 3 weeks. I predicted a loss last week. I think I predicted a loss both weeks. I'm leaning win this week. As it got later in the week, I was more skeptical because I just didn't know what to expect from Flacco and stuff like that. But I'm leaning win right now is what I would say.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I'm right. I'm leaning like 30-23 or 28-24, something like that, where they get a big turnover or two. Last question. Over under 12.5 games Zach Wilson plays this year, meaning is he coming back next week, you think, gut feeling, or he's to come back week 5 or 6 and we have to hear about how he just isn't quite ready yet after this week?
Oh, that's a good question. Man, I'm leaning towards him coming back against Pittsburgh.
Don't you feel like he was just trying not to shoot himself in the foot too with the timeline stuff?
That's definitely what he's doing now. Yeah, for sure. Everybody latched on to at the earliest, but he also said that at the press conference where he revealed the news. I think everybody was just focused on the fact that he wasn't coming back until the Steelers game. I still think he comes back Steelers, and you hope he doesn't miss any games after that. But I mean, you know, the way he plays, like it's very possible he misses a game or two later on. But if he missed 3 games, yeah, I mean, he should be able to get over the 12.5 as long as he stays healthy. But you know, I would say he probably is going to hover around there is how many games he plays this year, 12 games.
Jets can never get, I think it's only 5 or 6 seasons since 1998. They've had a quarterback play over 13 games, which is
that's not great.
Truly, truly special for a myriad of reasons, not just injuries. Usually some guy is not very good. Obviously appreciate you hopping on. Make sure everyone's kind of reading Zach stuff. The Athletic, again, doing a really good job. Obviously following on Twitter. Most people, I'm sure anyone that's listening to this is already following you on Twitter, but obviously appreciate having you on, and you know, hopefully Jets get a W and keep writing more fun columns about Garrett Wilson being a star.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.